and welcome to episode 169 of Wing Sauce, the holy shit, you lost in overtime with four goals up. What the hell edition?
I thought this was the Patrick Kane edition.
Oh, okay. The Patrick Kane edition. Scratch that. Who debuted in that game that they were four goals up and then lost.
Yeah, I didn't think that he wouldn't be the headline in his starting game. But yeah, no, it's definitely... So I was at the game. It was...
Yeah, how was it? I mean, beside the fact that we lost, how was the game? How did Kane look? Did he look, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, he's fine. Like, his vision is better than anybody else's on the team. Like, it just natural hockey sense. Everything that you hear about him is true. I mean, I've seen him in person before. Obviously, like, when he's debuting on your team, you watch him a little bit closer. Like, every single time he's on the ice, everybody's focus was on him. So it's probably a little bit more intimidating for him. Not that he can't handle that. It's been his whole life. But because you're watching him every time he steps on the ice, you watch, like, again, what he's doing with the puck, what he's doing without the puck. And he's definitely just, you know, it's going to be an easier transition for him back in the NHL compared to other people that sit out for a while because of how smart he is. And he can play the game in a way that's not going to hurt his body, not going to tire him out really quickly. It's not like he's a grinder or somebody that utilizes his speed. Like, obviously his hands are nasty, but his shot isn't the best in the league. He's not the fastest player. He's not the big, like, he's just so smart. And that's the reason he's been able to stay in the league for so long and put up the points that he has. So his mind isn't going. He's a little bit older player in the NHL, but his mind is still the same. He's probably smarter than he was when he first got in the league. So it's just reading and reacting to the plays. He got a lot of chances. So overall, I think he's going to capitalize on some of these. I think his passing was top notch. Like, we as in the rest of the team, I should be saying, had opportunities from him that we didn't bury on. So he's going to get, there was a lot of point potential for somebody that had limited minutes. That it was pretty eye-opening. So not worried at all. It was a crazy game, but for him,
I mean,
take that out of it, it was a good debut.
Crazy game, to say the least, right? We're put up four goals into the second, we're leading, and then somehow let four goals go in the second from San Jose. It was literally four natural goals by Red Wings and then four natural goals by San Jose.
I've never seen a crazier, it was so going up 4-0. I've seen comebacks from 4-0. It's not common, obviously, but to have two shorthanded goals and then two shorthanded goals in the same power play, that cannot happen very often in the NHL. That's got to be like the most unique stat ever. Do you ever remember that happening? I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Not that I recall. That's funny you bring that up. So on that note, I was talking to Chad, who we played golf with. He was saying, one of his buddies was mentioning the goaltending versus defense, right? Saying that the goaltending's trash. I actually stuck up for the goaltending. I was like, I think the defensive breakdown is where it was versus actual goaltending. What are your thoughts on that being actually at the game? I feel like you get a different view when you're there versus, you know.
Yeah, no, you do. You get to see the play develop. So actually when you're there, it kind of relies more on, you look at more of the rest of the team because on TV, so take a look at the first goal, shorthanded goal. First goal, which was a shorthanded goal for San Jose. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows, like, I'm biggest Larkin fan, right? I know him. He's a great guy. He's a great hockey player. I was day one, but he knows that it's not anything special. Like, there was a turnover by him in the slot on the power play, kind of gave the puck away. And they went down. We didn't have the proper defense. Again, that part's not Larkin's fault. But to give away the puck in that in the slot when you don't have the defensive backing on the power play, you just have to be more aware of the surroundings. And that goes back to your question, Dustin. So, like, when you're at the game, you're noticing those things because, like, on TV, you maybe don't piece together where everybody is because you can't see everybody.
The camera's painting in certain areas, right?
Yeah, and then you only see the 2-on-1 that happened or whatever. That was, I think it was a 2-on-1, maybe even a breakaway. But, like, either way, you're only seeing that end and you're like, oh, that was a bad goal. And while I agree, it was a bad goal, but the play should have never got there, right? And yes. And defense are playing a little bit more aggressive on the power play. They need to keep the puck in. They take those chances thinking that they have a guy back. And maybe that's why Larkin made the play. It was a little bit more of an aggressive play, so because you think you have the numbers and you just didn't. It was a bad situation. That was an example of what the difference between there and watching at TV. But I also, as much as I'm a Larkin fan, I also am a goalie. I usually give the goalies the benefit of the doubt.
I would say listening, so.
Yeah. Like I typically say, you have to look at the play that develops in the neutral zone, in the offensive zone, and what happened in the defensive zone. And there's usually a breakdown somewhere that gives the team some type of opportunity to score. I think that happened a lot last game. I think that Husso did not have his best game. He didn't let in a soft goal. He definitely did not give the Wings a best chance to win. Like yes. He did not make any save that was like, okay, he's playing better than his potential. He was like basically making any save that I would expect a very average or maybe even below average goalie to make, and not making any save that an above average. Yeah. Like not even extraordinary, just like an above average play.
Yeah. I remember that save.
Yeah. Look at the goal that won it in overtime. Like I'm not expecting him to make that play, but 2-on-0, 2-on-1 or whatever it was. That's tough. That's a backdoor pass that like tapping. That's again, those are the, when I see a game that's 4-0 and people are ripping on the goalie and I see like 3 backdoor tap and passes, I'm like, how can you even get, you can't blame that on the goalie. This game, I don't know if it was the goalie coach is going to have to get with him, because I think his angles are wrong. Some of the shots were screened, but I think if he was in the right spot, the puck hits him. There was some tips. I don't know what it is. I don't know what is going on with the Wings that they're playing better for Alex Lyon than they are for Husso. And whether that's Husso's fault or not, that's just the reality of the Red Wings right now.
So, and that doesn't say, so was this Husso's first game back after his child being born? Because I know he didn't play last year.
Yeah, he's had like 3 or 4 games.
Okay. I couldn't recall.
But we've been winning. We've been winning, but the goals that we won 5-4. And then when Lyon's in that, we win 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, somewhere in that regard.
So my issue is I feel like we've had quite a few four goal games where they come back and they're almost single score games, or they're almost like, 5-4 type situations. What are you chuckling?
No, I'm laughing because Demery's saying, I hear you stealing my talking points in there, because she says the same thing about Husso. And again, she'll say it, and I'm normally backing Husso up. And she, before the game, I kid you not, before the game, we're in the seats, right? And she says, I think it was either her or I, we were talking about it kind of collectively because we both think the same thing. When Husso's in that, I think I said it jokingly, knowing that she would. I'm like, oh, well, here, Husso's in, it's gonna be a 5-4 game. I swear to God, I think 5-4 is the exact score that I said, because whether we win or lose, that's just gonna be the end result. Like, I don't know what it is, we score a lot. But when Lyon's in that, it'll be like, oh, we won 3-0 or 4-1 or 4-0 or whatever. And we just are not giving them that many chances. And I don't know what's going to have to happen. Lyon's playing tomorrow, though, when this is out.
That doesn't say, do you think it's almost become a like an actual true tandem 1A, 1B type situation, and kind of Reimer's now on the back burner with Lyon kind of taking that step up?
I mean, Reimer for sure. Are you talking about Husso?
What did I just say?
You said Reimer, but
I meant Husso and Lyon being 1A, 1B, if you will, and then Reimer kind of taking a step back and being
for sure. Tier. Absolutely. Yeah. No question.
That's what I thought it. I said, but maybe I confused my words there.
No, I might have confused. No, you're right. I do think that right now, Lyon, when he everybody knows in the league, and it sounds like the people around the hockey community that know him, he's an extremely streaky goalie. If I'm the Red Wings, you ride that streak. Right now, he's playing really well. Ride it until he plays poorly. You have a couple backups.
Florida, right? What's
up?
It's kind of like Florida. I feel like that's what they kind of did similar to him when he played.
Yeah, I think he got hurt, though, which is what started, which actually took him out. But he did, like, he was super hot. Got him in the playoffs, obviously. Right now, I don't know why. It's a good situation to have, because, like I said, I don't think Husso's playing horribly. I just think that Ryan or that Lion is giving them a better chance to win right now. So,
yeah.
And you see it tomorrow. I mean, Ottawa's a bad team right now, standings wise. They're not an easy team.
You say that, but we just lost to San Jose, who's a bad team.
Well, let's get into that a little bit because I've been talking with a few people on it. It's really, really difficult to judge that game. And I actually, again, going back to the Kane thing, when you're there, you're only watching him because it was his debut. Every time he's on the ice, you know when he's on, you know when he's off, because the crowd was going crazy, everything, right? It is super, super difficult to be on a time constraint and a minute watch when you're a line mate or anybody on that's a forward with him. So he wasn't playing full minutes, not even close. He was going
You wouldn't expect him to, I don't think.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that he's going out there on a basically being watched for his total minutes. Like he's going to hit a total minute mark, and they're going to average a certain amount. Let's say he was out there for 15 seconds and there was a whistle. I kid you not, he would come off the ice, which is fine. Oh, really? I don't care. But you know how difficult that is when you take out your other wingers? So DeBrincat and Valeno were getting off the ice too. And then in the second period, it was playing with like Larkin, DeBrincat, and Kane. And they were playing amazing. Like they had some really, really fun shifts. Probably the most fun that I was watching of those three. Mm-hmm. Of all the lines, it was those three. But then it would be, okay, well, then you don't see him for a little bit. You take DeBrincat off. You put him with a different guy. I want to see their total line or total minutes. You almost can't even watch the game yesterday and think like, oh, wow, yeah, no, we lost to a bad team. It was purely we need to get guys out there. It would have been so difficult for Lalonde. I don't know how he did it because the line pairings were all over the place. You had to take some of your best players off because Kane's on a top six. He's a top six forward. And you're taking your other two best forwards off the ice after being on the ice for 20 seconds. So it was super. I think it's more of a product of really trying to get him into the team slowly and not messing with the mojo totally. Like I'm actually thinking like this is even more of a reason why it's important to get somebody in before the trade deadline. Because if this happened at the trade deadline and every single win is important, which it is already, don't get me wrong, but like at the end of the season where you only have 20 games left or whatever, then you don't have the opportunity to have those bad games where you're taking off your best players. So that's why I think that yesterday, while crazy, it's really difficult to take a look at that to be like, hey, the team played poorly, which they did for a lot of the reasons. But when you're getting out there for 20 seconds, like DeBrincat and Larkin aren't used to that, like getting sold off.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't even really think about that when you put that into the whole game, right? When you're not used to playing those shorting men's, or you're getting those changing lines when you're not really used to that, you're kind of used to your typical line mates. It does have an impact. So,
yeah, because then your third and fourth line are out there more than your first and second.
Yeah,
to an extent. You know what I mean?
So to for the listeners to round it out, that's kind of why he's saying that the loss to San Jose, who's 31st of the 32nd teams, don't look at it too critically. Is that pretty accurate, Connor?
Yeah, I would take a look at after five-ish games with given how he looked. Normally, I would be like, hey, 5-7, but I'm like in like the 4-5-ish now. He looked mm-hmm. good. He looked like he wasn't super tired. He said he felt good, which I think is more trust that more than even what I'm saying.
Question. So, on him coming back, do you feel like there's a little bit of respect for him as far as like some players not just coming out and fucking just, you know, going at him first game? Or do you think
I don't think so. I mean, I get what you mean, but you'd have to like really be an idiot to go out and do something stupid. And I don't think anything dirty, but I know what you mean by like trying to put a big hit on him or something.
Yes. 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 Like, hey, dude, I see you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, think about it this way. I think about it this way. If the entire league would have loved to put a big hit on Datsyuk every single game, no matter what.
Well, good luck doing that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's no, the guys that are really good, the Gretzky's, the I'm not saying Kane or Datsuk, but like they're in the all-star, one of the best players to ever play the game type of category.
I mean, Kane's probably one of the best American-born players to ever play the game.
If not the best, right? Yeah. So when you put them in that category, they're not good just because they're skill. Like I said to start the show off, they're so smart. They know where everybody is on the ice. And for a guy like Kane that's been undersized his entire, not only NHL career, but juniors and so like forever, his entire life, you're not putting... There's big hits on him, don't get me wrong, but like you're not putting, if he doesn't want to get hit, he's not getting hit.
Yeah.
He'll take a hit to make a play in playoffs or whatever, but these guys are not, unless they are doing it on purpose where they need to go make a play and it's like for the win of a game, but he's not going to get hit.
So I must say in my 32 years, I never would have thought Patrick Kane would be on the Red Wings. I'll tell you that right now.
No. Yeah. I swear it was like a rumor this summer that started.
I was saying it. I was like, hey, possible. Yeah. And then it started getting real fucking serious. I was like, wait, is this actually serious? Like, that seems kind of still kind of off. And then it started getting closer and closer. And it was like, the Red Wings. I'm like, there's no way we're going to get Patrick Kane.
But then you hear his reasoning. And then
right? It's
like, yeah, it's kind of obvious now. Like, if he came out before he picked a team and said, hey, you know what? I don't know if you listened to his interview, but it was basically when he first joined, the announcers were talking about, you know, was it important to go to a team that was, it wasn't contending, because like the Red Wings, I wouldn't put them in the contending category, but they used something along the lines of like a good team. And he's like, yeah, you know, I think people put too much emphasis on that I needed to go, to a team that is going to make a run for the Stanley Cup.
Cups, though.
Yeah, so. Like he's won that. So, but everybody thought, like me included, like if I'm just looking from the outside in, if there's a guy that's going to retire, like of course he wants to go to the best team and like have a chance to win a cup. But that really wasn't the number one priority. It was like, hey, I see a team, they're building something. It's a legendary franchise, legendary GM. One of my best friends in the entire league is on there. I had amazing chemistry with him on and off the ice. It kind of, after he said everything, I'm like, well, yeah, it was obvious now. Like it was important for him to go to a place that hockey was big. Okay, that takes out Dallas, Florida, the Kings. Vegas is big, but in a different way. It's like a party atmosphere. You know, like it takes away a lot of these teams that had a shot. And it really came down. And then Buffalo, I think if they were even playing a little bit better, I think you could have made the case for them, but they were playing so bad in the beginning of the year that he's not going to go. And maybe he doesn't want to live in his hometown, but still they kind of played themselves out of the sweepstakes a little bit if they were even in it to begin with. And then they were kind of left with the Wings.
I mean, it does help though when you have three Stanley Cups, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean like, if it was a guy, if he never won a Stanley Cup and he had this many points and he had close runs,
it'd be a different conversation.
Like, yeah, for sure.
He would be looking at a contending team, in my opinion, because everyone knows, I wouldn't say everyone, I've never won a fucking Stanley Cup, but that's the ultimate goal when you play hockey, right? Is to win the Stanley Cup. So I feel like once you've accomplished that, not once, but three times, it's like, yes, it's still a drive and a desire, but it's also, to your point, all those other things, right, come into play a little bit heavier at that time.
Yeah,
it's
like where do you want to live? Where do you want, like, how's the rink? How's the locker room? Where's my friends? How, like, Mike, he's really close. Again, he said this a million times, but him and DeBrincat, they're really close. They both have kids around the same age. They play their best hockey together, both DeBrincat and Kane. They both play together. And they were on the ice together. Like, they both give each other shit a little bit. They both, so it just, it helps you want to go to a team that's welcoming and to just walk into whether you're a Kane, a future Hall of Famer or not, like, it's still intimidating walking into a locker room where you don't know that many guys.
I mean, so on that note, right, being Kane, it's all, but do you feel like when you walk into that room, there's a level of respect from your teammates? You're like, oh shit, Patrick Kane, you know?
Oh yeah. All right. For sure.
You know, so like, I know he only signed a 1 year contract, which who knows what happens after this year. You know, I feel like it kind of depends on how the team does. Honestly.
Depends on Kane, to be honest. I mean,
do you think he retires?
No. I meant more like if he plays well, then I don't see any reason why he wouldn't come back here, given all the reason that he said. And it's not only just like the friends thing or whatever, but he said it was important for him to be in a like mentoring type of growing role for a team that's building something. Like, he wanted to go to somewhere that he can make an impact. And you're not going to go to a team and go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's safe to say, I think Larkin's going to learn some stuff from Patrick Kane too, which is going to be beneficial for us.
For sure. And I think, and they've played together though, at Worlds and stuff. So they definitely know each other. They're both obviously American. They go to these different things, and Larkin's good enough to make all these different teams. And obviously Kane was probably first line forward for any team that he's ever been on. But they'll definitely learn some things. And I think what Kane said, again, I'm going to go back to his intro into the team. And it was like, because one of the questions was, hey, do you feel like you're going to be teaching a lot? Do you think you have a lot to give to the younger players? And in a long answer, he said, yes, but I have just as much to learn from the younger guys. And I'm not throwing Larkin in that specifically, but Kane said he specifically called out a guy like Raymond or playing with Cider. Some of these young guys that learn the game in a different era than a Kane and even a Larkin, where they're a lot, it was learned in a more skilled era where it was more okay to do things that Kane probably wanted to do growing up, and he couldn't because they wouldn't really teach him like that. But he said that he can learn just as much from the young guys as they can learn from him.
I'm excited. I hope it pans out. I hope we see, growth within the team from this move. I don't see why we wouldn't. I hope everyone kind of has their expectations in check and don't think just because we signed Kane, it's like, oh, first class ticket to the Stanley Cup. Like, easy. But yeah, I think it's an exciting thing for the team. I think it's exciting for the Red Wings, exciting for the fans. We finally have like an actual like team to kind of be excited about, players on the team that are like, oh, okay, we got some names now.
That's just all like, hey, they've like, yesterday was disappointing when against San Jose, that was disappointing, but they're 6-1-1 in their past eight. Like, they're doing okay.
So, and I think people forget that hockey is literally the one, like one of the few games I feel like can go either way really quickly. And B, it's a long season, right? There's 82 games. I'm not too worried about one loss to San Jose. We're still right now in the league. We're still third in the Atlantic. So I'm not upset with it. We're still up on Toronto by 2 points, tied with Florida actually right now. So, I mean, we're doing pretty good. If we keep on the path we're moving, I'm excited. However, we got to stop these 4-goal losses. I was trying to figure out how many of these we've had, where we've been up by 4 goals or 3 goals and they've come back and have either tied the game.
Or even two in the third where you lose. I mean, that's a 3-goal swing. If you're up 2 goals and you lose that game, it means they scored 3, basically unanswered probably.
Yes. Yeah. Do you remember what your, so they won against Buffalo, they won against, the Canadians. Was that the last, was there some games in, I think that was it, right?
Since what we recorded?
Yeah, recorded. Was there a game?
Yeah, it's probably around there.
Yeah, I think that's it. Oh, we don't know. Cause we had Chicago and the Rangers. And neither of us are correct on when Kane would start his first game, by the way.
That same day though, when we recorded, I looked at the roster again. I was like, well, that was stupid. Like, of course they're not going to start him on the road against, I think I said Buffalo and I thought that game was home for some reason, but I think you even corrected me there. But when you look at San Jose, it was the perfect situation. Like, it was right in the time frame. It was at home. You're not going to start him on the road against one of the worst teams in the league.
Yep.
Like it, there was no, it's stupid not to, it was the right move for sure.
Yeah. I mean, no better way to have a homecoming than at home, right? I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. So are you going to the game tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
All right. So Connor and I will be live. Not really. We'll be at the game tomorrow. Since we recorded on a Friday, we're going to push back the next release. So this will drop on Monday. But the timing of the recording will be a little bit later than in the week than usual, just so we can get some more games in. Do you have anything else?
No, I think, this is a big little stretch here that they have. They got Senators, you like to see them try to win this one, especially against a team when everybody start the season. It was, okay, what two teams are in out of the three? And it was Ottawa, Buffalo or the Red Wings. Obviously, that switched a little bit, but it's still early in the season. You got to get these wins when you can, especially when the Senators are playing in a little bit of a rut. And it's DeBrincat's old team. There was a lot of stuff going on last time they played. So I'm actually really looking forward to that game more so than the next couple beyond that, which, you know, Dallas is after, and then St. Louis is after that. So Dallas, good little stretch. I think that they need to get a win against St. Louis and Ottawa and try against Dallas, but they're playing hot right now, no doubt.
Dallas is always playing hot. They're one of those teams that's kind of funny coming out of Texas that you're kind of like, oh, the Texas has a team and they're actually pretty good at hockey. All right, then.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Carolina, they play on Thursday. Speaking of Carolina, just got back from Pinehurst, which is amazing. Played Tobacco Road.
Nice. Remember.
Yeah, that course is great. Tallamore, Pine Wild, Mid-South, and Seven Lakes were all great courses.
Do you see what Brindamore said when against who was it, who were they playing? Like they were playing the Oilers. They were down 5-0 and they were on the bench and they were interviewing him.
Dude, yeah. He's like, I don't know what
they're like. We might lose 50-0 if we keep playing like this.
He was pissed.
Yeah, I would be too if I was anybody associated with that organization.
He was like, you could tell he was like, I don't think they left the bench after that game. I think they sat there and backskated him.
Probably. It was funny. Speaking of NHL and older guys that were pissed, we were leaving the rink yesterday from our seats, and we are up in the Labatt Blue Club up there, you know, so we take, instead of waiting for the elevator, we usually just take the stairs down, which is right there. And all of the Red Wings that aren't playing usually sit up there, along with a lot of the, I don't know if it's actually the Red Wings, it's a lot of the management. So not Eisenman, but we were walking like side by side next to Cleary and Draper. And I'm like, oh, Demery was walking by. He's like, that looks like somebody over there. I'm like, yeah, that is. That's Draper and Cleary right next to us.
You should have asked him. So how do you feel about this loss today, guys?
Well, they were like two steps ahead of me or whatever. And I almost, cause I used to work out with them. But they wouldn't know me if I said hi. For the most part, I have to like scream the guy's name who we used to work out. So I almost said that, like, just randomly said like Mike Knight, because that was the trainer and I wanted to see if they would turn. And then maybe they would have recognized me at that point, but if they won, I would have, but after an overtime loss at when you were up four.
Right. My favorite. That's so funny. I was just thinking, yelling people's name and see if they turn around, but then like don't look, you know, yeah, those like kind of things.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, that's all I had. All I can say is if you ever make it out to North Carolina, play Tobacco Road, Connor.
There you go. Yeah. I would love to.
But yeah, let's get the fuck out of here and I'll see you next week. See you.